Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, world. It's me, Dennis, and today I have the privilege of having our co-producer for a conversation with Renee Jaworski to be leading our conversation with Fausta Nalubega Hoffman and Ross Hoffman. Hello, everybody, and now I turn the reins over to Renee. Yes. Renee, take it away and let's have a conversation.
I would be glad to. It's my pleasure. This is a personal victory for me, this show, because I have been following Mercy for Life Africa for a few years now. They are my favorite charitable organization in the world. And I always tell people, if you want a charitable organization to sponsor, this is the one. And I want to say why that is. This is a direct continuation of Mother Teresa's work. So if anybody wanted to work with Mother Teresa while she was on Earth, this is your chance. The work that that Mercy for Life is doing is exactly what Mother Teresa did, which is taking each individual person as just as important as any other person and filling that person with the full spectrum of love. They work with children, they work with the elderly, and they go into people's houses and they get their hands just as dirty. They go into the areas of the poorest of the poor, and they live the life and they walk with them by name. And I have never seen an organization that is that personal and that one-on-one. So to me, this is a true honor to talk to people that I believe are transforming the world one person at a time, exactly how Mother Teresa talked about it. And I wanted to really ask Ross or Fausta, when and where and how did either of you know that this was going to be your mission in life, to do this organization?
Well, okay. You want to go ahead, Fausta? Can you hear this?
Yes. That's nice. Thank you for hosting us on that show.
Our pleasure.
I'm Fausta Nalubega. Yes, this is Mercy for Life. I'm the director of Mercy for Life with my husband, Ross Hoffman. So the way it started as Restoration Image. And after some time, the way we were doing the activities, the way we were doing work, I was the president by then of St. Vincent de Paul at the university, at the college where I was studying from. Through my experience with the poor, and the activities I was doing at the university, helping those students who doesn't have or who do not have school fees, doing a lot of charities in the hospitals. I told my guardian parent, Father Dominic Moire, who is a parish priest to nurse and a parish, like, I feel like I should do what you're doing. Because Father Moire paid my school fees when I was young. When I was young, from primary five, when my father died, I was in the primary section. So he was like, Fausta, I want to take you back to school. Well, he saw us like going for months every day. By then, he was a assistant parish priest at my parish, St. Agnes. So I was like, Fausta, why are you not schooling? Because we used to go for months every morning. I was like, my father died and no one is there for us. So he called my mother. I was like, Fausta, I feel like I should choose one of your children so that they go to school. After that time, I was like, father took me to the for school until I finished the university. Then at the university, I was elected to be the St. Vincent de Paul. I've already talked about that. After some time, like, I was like, after when I finished my campus, I didn't want to lose what I was doing, because I felt like I should follow Mother Teresa. I should be like the Vincent de Paul organization. I told Father, like, let's pray for it. let's make a novena. If it's God's will, and we made a novena to Lucy, Sister Faustina, my patron saint. The ninth day, we got a sponsor of the novena. The sponsor was like, Fausta, I'm going to be giving you $100 every month because of the activities you're doing. I used to post to them at their Facebook. I used to post my activities on all the social medias. So I was really pleased. I told Father, we got a person who's going to help us. Then he donated for a year, almost $100. We were so pleased. Then after Ross Hoffman, currently my husband was like, oh my goodness, I'm seeing an organization and I'm following your activities. Can we come to Uganda and see what you're doing? You can come and see the blessing, but we don't have an office where you will stay. What he was like, no, let's build something where we want to be on ground. We don't want to go see the hotels. What we want to come on the ground and see your mission and what you're doing. So Ross Hoffman, after some period, he came with a group of team. They came with an organization called Mercy for Life. When we united together, he came to Uganda. We did most of the activities together. We went to the slums where I used to go. We prayed for many people. We did a lot of things with him regarding charity. We prayed every day in mass. So that's how we connected with Ross Hoffman. He used to send me money, like, Fausta, let's ask you for the organization. So when he could send money, I was like, no, somebody's suffering. I used to make up with the money you sent. I've done this and this. We've helped these people. We've taken these children to school. I was like, oh, my God, this is a blessing. You're really a blessing. I've been looking for a person like you. So that's how we united the organization. Mercy for Life joined with Restoration Image. We turned into one name, to Mercy for Life Africa.
And Ross, when you knew this was going to be your mission, how that was Fausta's story, how did you know?
Well, what happened was, is I was already starting a ministry, probably an hour away from Kampala, where Fausta lives, where the ministry headquarters is, with another gentleman. So I flew in and met him and his wife with all the intentions of continuing with that ministry. But when I showed up and saw Fausta with a full team, as a Catholic, she was able to organize not just family members, but really devout. I mean, it was almost an instant team, you know, like a cup of soup. Add water to some dry soup, and next thing you know, you got hot soup. I mean, it was amazing. It was just there, and I saw it immediately. So some of the amazing miracles that happened right off the bat was we came in, and we were literally able to build the main headquarters from the ground up, because all that was there was her mother's house. So we built the headquarters, basically one of the buildings, from the ground up. And then we had no vehicle. For about the first 6 months to a year, Fausta was running around using taxis and taking people to the hospital with taxis, literally stopping with some elderly person that needed to go to the hospital and put that person on the back of a motorcycle. So, you know, it boat-a-boat is what they call it. So one of the first things we did, which was exciting, is we started building the headquarters. To make a long story short, her zeal, and I could see the ministry was there, basically redirected my efforts to Kampala and away from this other individual who just couldn't put a team together. So I felt the Holy Spirit was taking us to Kampala. So what was amazing, though, is back in the United States, I had practically a brand new Jeep Wrangler that was paid for, that was worth about $17,000. So the first thing I did with Fausta is I said, you know, after we're building the building, it's like, my goodness, we need to get you a vehicle. And the first thing she said is, nobody in my family can drive. You know, we don't have a driver's license. We're dirt poor. You know, we have no way of driving. So this became such an incredibly fun adventure. To make a long story short, we went down and looked at about three different bands, and she was so excited. We brought the, you know, Winnie and John Lubega and the whole family, Faith. Everybody was with us when we were looking at bands. And so she was just stunned that we picked the nicest van, which if you look at the pictures, you can see that van. So we had about 2 weeks, if not 3 weeks, to come up with the approximately $12,000 in American money to buy this van.
Yeah.
So we stepped out on faith, and that whole miracle came together back here in the United States, because I sold my Jeep, but it usually takes about 2 months to get your title, or 6 weeks to get
sure.
your title. I had to have the money back there to buy the van in such a short period of time. So to make a long story short, that all came together. I was at the bank. I was, you know, asking that they make special exceptions to get the title. So to make a long story short, the ministry, we started getting all of the necessary parts of the ministry to actually put a ministry together. And that really has been my job. I'm the money guy. And I used to put, I used to make posts on Facebook and say, you want to see a perfect marriage? Folks in Uganda have absolutely no money. Here we are in America with all kinds of money. Let's put these two extremes together, and voila, you have a great ministry. And I think last year we got over $60,000 in donations off of Facebook and social media and the scholarships, and the whole thing has just come together in such a remarkable way. Cynthia Hotz has her own nonprofit called One Together, and she just fell in love with what we're doing. And the next thing out of nowhere, 40 orphans or 35 to 40 orphans. How many kids, FOSTA? 35 to 40 orphans now have full scholarships going to school because of her. And it's just been amazing. We just had a long-term beneficiary.
Yep.
Dennis, get this. This is how poor these people are. A long-term beneficiary with 27 people living in the same house. Her first name is Nalongo, and she is just getting chased out of her house as of the last 2 weeks, right with this coronavirus coming along.
Yes.
And it cost $600 to keep her in the house. So we were able to raise the money to get her in, actually get her into a new house. We were able to raise the funds to get her into a house. So now 27, 28 people are going to have a house instead of being chased out on the streets. I mean, who wants to live on the streets, let alone have 28 people with you? A lot of them are the grandkids, because the kids have died of AIDS. So this is the type of work we're doing. And I'm absolutely amazed by FOSTA and the whole team, because their hearts are out to help the poor, and that's what we've been doing this whole time. And I could spend 2 days just sitting here telling you story after story after story. But that was kind of how it came together for me. I started seeing her on Facebook do these amazing things. I wanted to go over there to see it. I instantly saw that the potential here is amazing, and then so I started putting my own money into it, and then we started building the ministry.
And a love story.
Yeah, and the love story.
Yes.
Yeah, the love story came when Foster and I were sharing, you know, texting back and forth.
All right, that's what I want to ask, Fausta, because in any great partnership, any great collaboration that you two have, there is a synergy of 1 + 1 = 2. You're demonstrating that principle every single day. I think that's the same principle that Jesus used in on the Sermon on the Mount when, you know, multiplying at all. And that's what you guys are doing down there. There's such grace that's happening. Would you talk a little about it?
Well, actually, we don't have any partnership with any organization. In Africa, we don't have But what to make some tradition to Russian speaking, we have 186 children under sponsorship of Mercy for Life, and we have a lot of children, more than 1,000 children pending, who wish to join the school because of our effort. We don't have any partnership in Africa. We only have friends from social media, Rose Hoffman as him, and Mercy for Life, and Cynthia.
And how are you?
Foster,
go ahead,
I think
Ross.
What he's asking is about our partnership, about me and you, about our love story and how we came together on the love aspect. I think that's what he's asking.
That's one of the directions that we could take. Absolutely, that, and that was, yeah, Ross, what I was asking, because I'm always fascinated on how great partners come together to do great things.
Let me go ahead and answer. I can answer that for her because she might not be able to quite hear so well because she's in Africa. But really, I early on said I'm basically John the Baptist. I'm preparing the way, and Foster, you're Jesus. I mean, that's kind of the relationship.
Yep.
You know, I'm the administrator. She's the miracle worker, and in private, sending messages back and forth, working with the poor, being inspired by the poor, you know, we started to get to know each other. And she's an extremely polite person. You know, I mean, thank you, yes, sir, no, sir. I mean, extremely polite. Even to this day, she thanks me for stuff I do for her. And I tell her, honey, you don't have to thank me all the time. she's extremely polite. So we just got, you know, gained this respect for each other. And then when I went over there and I saw her, it was like, oh my goodness, you know, look at this beautiful, yeah, woman here, you know, and I started to become attracted to her, you know, with the whole deal, you know, the,
yeah,
ministry, what she's doing, her beauty and all that stuff. And we just fell in love, and it's been wonderful. What keeps us centered though is the ministry. The ministry and our work is the reason we're going to stay together forever. You know, and that's the,
yes,
beauty of it. I tell friends of mine, you know, if you don't, I have a friend of mine that's courting right now, and I tell him, I said, of all the people that is giving you advice on marriage, here it is me, and which is very odd. But I said, if you don't have something that keeps you together, it's not going to work. Your relationship's not going to work. And what works for us is serving the poor. That's what our bond is. That keeps us loyal to each other and keeps us loving each other. So it's been the best thing that's ever happened in my life, that's for sure.
And so Ross, this is Renee again. I wanted you to talk a little bit about navigating a cross-cultural marriage. What are some of the things that you had to learn about Fausta, about getting in with her culture, understanding her culture, and what are the things that happen that are kind of silly or funny or annoying where you guys had,
well,
to work through that?
I'll tell you what, we got the civil part out of the way quite quickly. That was the easy part. And then when I showed up over there, the next thing I know, she's trying to explain to me this traditional of going to meet the in-laws, and,
yeah,
and it's really remarkable. The traditions over there are really amazing, and what that's all about is basically the aunt, Fosta's aunt, is supposed to tell Fosta's mother that she's pursuing this route. So we go over, and we had to, these guys dressed up in these amazing traditional clothes. And then we head off. It was probably an hour and a half to 2 hour drive. And we went to the aunt's house, and there was at least, our party had 5, 6, 7, a lot of the immediate family, all dressed in these amazing long traditional gowns that they usually make by hand. And I was dressed up, and we sat in there and we met the family and we brought gifts along. And this is quite the elaborate process. As far as aggravation, the last time I was there was a full-blown meeting of the families right up the street, and it was 2 days of nonstop celebrating. And what I mean by 2 days of nonstop celebrating, a third world country like this has no sound ordinance. You know, there's no sound law. So it would be like coming to your house 2 days away and setting up huge speakers and having this full-blown party for two straight days, and the whole neighborhood has no choice but to go through the whole thing. So I last time I was there, staying at the ministry headquarters, you know, it was 2 days of nonstop noise and celebrating and stuff. And after a while, I'm saying, "Oh my God, you guys are crazy," you know. So that's the meeting of the family and all that stuff is they take it extremely serious.
Because so that in was something Africa, that, right? Because for our listeners. You know, in America, America is more of an individualistic culture. But in Africa, tradition and community and family controls. So
yeah.
you are really marrying a family. You're marrying
yeah.
a community, and the whole community is going to either accept you or reject you. So it's a lot of pressure. And
yeah.
right, and so everything that you do is. Something that you have to kind of navigate with more than just Fausta.
Yep.
You really have to honor her people. And
sure.
I find that so interesting because what's so interesting about that is in America, we've done everything to get away from that, to get away from tradition,
yep.
to get away from family.
Yep.
But how did you respond to that emotionally? Were you honored? Were you flattered? Or were you annoyed? What are some of the things that happened when you had to meet her side at her people? How did
oh, it was
that
wonderful.
Go with her?
It
okay.
was wonderful. I mean, when I'm going out to meet the family, I'm marveling at where they live. I'm marveling at, you know, all of the different type of agriculture all around the house. You know, I'm amazed at whether they have running water or not. I absolutely loved one of the first big gatherings with the family and watching everybody eat. You know, I mean, I still tease Ifasta about her sister, Florence, because I love to watch her eat fish. You know, they just pile it high on the plate and they eat everything. I mean, chicken, they'll eat it right down to the bones. I mean, they don't waste anything. I mean, and it's such a different culture. The whole thing is so different. Anywhere from going outside and squatting over a hole to use the bathroom. I mean, the whole thing is just marvelous. You know, I fell in love with it. So the only annoyance that I had was the loud music for two straight days. I mean, you know, it's nonstop. But that, again, was marvelous because that's how strong their culture is. That nobody's going to tell them to turn the music down. And nobody wants to turn the music down. I mean, it's yeah, it's amazing.
Can you talk a little bit about the logistics of operating an organization in Uganda, about some of the legal differences, about some of the day-to-day ordinances
yeah.
that you do need to go through? Everything is a process, right? Everything is not.
Oh, absolutely. And it probably took us 2 years to get her nonprofit set up. And the one
right.
thing I do respect about Uganda is they dot the I's and cross the T's. It has to be all done right. She's got to keep track of where all the money goes. Some of the challenges we've had is we started out sending money bank to bank, which costs about $75 to process that. Then we went to MoneyGram.
Wow.
Yeah, which basically forced me to go down to my local Walmart to go to MoneyGram. Now, over the last year or so, we discovered what's called Wave. So it's fabulous. I get a donation in from PayPal. I can transfer it right into my ministry account. And then by phone, I can send her up to $8,000 a month. So I might send her $800, $600. For example, I just sent her over $1,000 myself just for food so she can – the whole ministry has food for the next month and all that. So some of the logistics have been almost miraculous the way those have come together for us. using this wave where I don't think we have it in the United States. For example, if I wanted to send you, Renee, you know, $500 right now, I certainly couldn't do it over the phone that I know of. So
sure.
technologically in Uganda, that there's some areas where they're actually ahead of us. So as far as the logistics go, we've had to show, you know, that we're a nonprofit. We had to prove both nonprofits at one time, you know, to justify the money coming in. But everything has worked out smoothly. I will say one thing real quick for FOSTA. I want to give her a pat on the back and do it, you know, publicly. She built the ministry compound with money coming from my business. We didn't use donations for that, for my business. And I was absolutely stunned at how creative she is and the job she did. I mean, she came in and put patères down. I didn't even know what a patter was. She put the bricks out on the compound. She leveled it. She built the wall. She can run a construction crew with eight guys working at the same time. She's built outdoor kitchens. She's remodeled all the rooms. She's just done an amazing job. And, I mean, super talented people looking for a way to serve God, but they don't. But there's no money there. So that's the whole comment.
Ross, can you let our listeners know how money moves in Uganda in a way people in America might think that a little bit of money would not go a long way because everything the cost of living here is so high, but can you give us a little bit of a picture of if you send $100, what can Mercy for Life accomplish with $100?
Well, let's talk about rent. We have a nice house that we're putting the Nalabegas in, or the Longo family in, and there's 27 of them in it. So think about that for a minute. It's a nice house, $200 a month. So you can get a taxi there, a boat, and run around for a couple dollars. As far as food goes. You know, $100 is like $1,000 here practically. So money, this is the beautiful part. Money goes a long ways there. So, for example, we don't have to take a beneficiary family like Malongo's, even though we want to do this long term, and build them a $1,500 to a $2,000 house, $3,000 house. We can build a pretty basic house for $3,000.
That's amazing.
Yeah, the one that they're living in now is more expensive than that, quite a bit more expensive than that. It's really a nice house, even on American standards. But we can rent it for $150 to $200 a month. Some of our beneficiaries we have in nice apartments, decent apartments, for $50 a month, $75 a month. So we can go in and we can find the right families, get them off the streets, change their lives, and taking somebody in a dire poverty situation, putting them into a little nicer place to live, giving them food, helping them, is probably one of the most miraculous things I've ever seen. I mean, you want
to
take care of depression and hopelessness, help somebody out of poverty. It's beautiful.
One of the things we're going to do, Ross and Nolongo and Fausta, is that we will put a link on the front of this conversation with, so that we'll be able to go directly to wherever it will point to wherever you, and I encourage any of the listeners who are listening to click on the link and make their decision. I realize that this time in March of 2020 that we're in the United States and around the world, there is we're dealing with a pandemic, and there's a lot of stresses on resources. But
yep,
you have certainly demonstrated that as long as we can continue to share this, we can increase it. And so I encourage anyone to click on the resources we're going to have on this link. Anything closing in the last? We've got about 30 seconds, Ross. So take it.
I'll let my wife close. If you're still there, Fausta, go ahead and say goodbye and close.
Okay. According to the way we are doing the thing, Sorry, if I come again, to the question.
Well, we will close it for today, but let's just say that we will have this, and we will look forward to talking with you deeper in the future. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for joining us on A Conversation With.